morning, everybody. So a Talmud of mine texted me the following shaila. Apparently, he has a linen blend shirt, and he's generally machmir to wear wool tzitzis. So he wanted to know if he's allowed to wear a linen shirt on top of wool tzitzis. A lot of times people don't think about, they think about maybe getting their begadim checked for shatness, but they don't think about the different combinations of begadim that they might be wearing that might have shatness. Or what if you wear silk pajamas and you have a wool blanket? Is that going to be a problem of shatness when you have multiple types of material that are covering your body at once? So this is kind of mefurish in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Yaradeya Simin Shin Seif Dalid Mutr Lilbosh Chaluk Shal Tzemel Ar Gabli Chaluk Shal Pishon Al Kashem Yachad. You're allowed to wear a wool shirt over a linen shirt and to tie them together. Even though you would not be able to take them off without untying that, you know, the knot that sews them together, that ties them together. However, the Shulchan Aruch then writes, "V'yesh osrim b'kesher shel kayama," that there are those that say that it's usr if it's a permanent knot that binds the wool and the linen together. So if you have a wool tzitzis and a linen shirt, and for some reason you tie a knot or you sew them together with a kesher shel kayama, then you have a problem according to the second daya in Shulchan Aruch. So far sounds not so bad, right? Sounds like there's not going to be any sort of problem with this. Comes along the Ramah, Yesh omrim, da asr lilbosh beiz batei shukayim echad shel pishton vechad shel tzemer zu al zu, that some say that you're not supposed to wear two pairs of socks, one wool, one linen, one over the other. Why? Why is this worse than the shirt? Deme'acher diyev shaliv shota tachtona below hel yona, since it's impossible to remove the lower sock, I guess the part that, you know, the first pair of socks, the one that's closer, that's actually touching your skin, without first removing the upper pair of socks, havi kichibor, so that makes it like they're connected. And that's not like wearing two shirts, because you could take off your lower shirt, you could take off your undershirt even while you're wearing a shirt over your undershirt. So that shows you that your undershirt is not really connected to your regular shirt. So you could be wearing a wool, undershirt. That's weird. A wool tzitzis. And you could be wearing a linen shirt. And since you could take off the wool tzitzis without removing the linen shirt, they're not really connected. So that's going to be fine. But when you have two pairs of socks, it's impossible to take off the bottom pair of socks without first taking off the top pair of socks, and therefore they are considered to be connected, and that, says the Rama, is a shatness problem. Talmud Yerushalmi explicitly asks this, because midrabanan, we consider them to be as if they're attached to each other. So this Rama is based on Yerushalmi. Now, even though the Beis Yosef writes that we don't follow this Yerushalmi, the Shlach Kadosh is quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva over there in Simon Shin, Siv Katan Vav, that we should be machmir about this Yerushalmi, because in general, while we don't follow Yerushalmi against the Bavli, when there's nothing in the Bavli that says that that indicates that it argues on the Yerushalmi, then we do follow the Yerushalmi, meaning when it's Yerushalmi against nobody, so then we follow the Yerushalmi. It's only when it's Yerushalmi against a Bavli that we follow the Bavli. And the Lashon of the Pesachei Tshuva on the comment of the Rama, when the Rama says, V'nachon li zoyer, the Pesachei Tshuva says, Ayin b'shlod af kuf av amalav, t'nachon v'nachon hu, that should one be careful about this? Yes, absolutely, says the Pesachei Tshuva, in the name of the Shlach HaKadosh, nachon v'nachon, that one should be careful about this. So now, bringing this back to our discussion, what if a person is wearing a linen shirt and a wool sweater? Or if a person is wearing a wool tzitzis and a linen shirt? So how would you, let's imagine that. Let's imagine wool tzitzis, linen shirt, and wool sweater on top of that. So let's go three layers. So any problems from any perspective? So what would you say? So it would seem that it all depends on what issue. Can you take it off without removing the other layer? So can you take off the lower layer without removing the upper layer? Can you take off wool tzitzis without removing your linen shirt? Yeah, for sure you can. Can you take off your linen shirt without removing your wool sweater? Then what do you think? It depends on the sweater, right? Meaning, is it a stretchy sweater? Because if it's very stretchy and you can just pull your arms out and, you know, do it that way, then you could probably do it. But if it's not a very stretchy sweater, if it's a style of clothing where it's a much tighter type of thing, like if you're wearing like a white shirt like I'm wearing now, that it's not very stretchy at all. The material doesn't stretch at all. So it would be very hard to remove another actual shirt because I can't like pull my arms in to the sleeve. So the Shach explains in Siv Katan Yud, in Simshin, v'shnei chaluka shiny. Demikol makom yachal ha'chnis rolls of lufnim v'lifshot achar kach ha'chaluk. When you're dealing with two shirts, that's different than two pairs of socks, because with two shirts you could pull your arms in and then take off the lower one. V'avkav dehashot yadav gam mikhaluk alyon mikol makom achaluk alyon nishar adayin al guf atzmo. And even though you do have to remove your arms from the top shirt, but that's not called taking it off. It's still attached to your body. So as long as it's still attached to your body, that's not called that you have to remove the top one in order to remove the bottom one. So that's true when it comes to a stretchable wool sweater or wool tzitzis under a linen shirt. That would be mutter. However, if the shirt and the sweater are tight, then you can't do that. And even the simple reading of the poskim on the page of Shulchan Aruch, the Shach, the Taz, and the Levush do not indicate that it's a problem, that they do not indicate that we have to be machmir like that Shlo and the Ramah. But the Shevet HaLevi writes in a couple of tshuvas in Chelek Beis, Simen Kuf Ayin, and Chelek Tes, Simen Reish Chaf Vav, that we should be machmir like the Shlo HaKadosh. The Shach in Siv Katan Ches writes, Kol HaGadim Shechles Lesvar Seyesh Oshrim, V'kal Lohavin, Ulfi Zeh, Mash Nogu Olam Lohakim, B'Dvarim Eilish Kos V'Rav, Evshim Yishum Shesovim Kisvar Rishona. He says, this whole Chelek that the Ramah makes, says the Shach, between whether you could take off the bottom one without removing the top one or not, is only within the Yesh Omrim in Shulchan Aruch. But it could be we passing like the first day in Shulchan Aruch, that even if they're sewn together, it's mutter. So if you're passing like the first day in Shulchan Aruch, that even if they're sewn together, it's mutter, then you don't have any problem whatsoever. So what it turns out is that according to the Mechaber, if you're Svartic, you're for sure okay, right? Meaning to wear a wool sweater over a linen shirt, it would for sure be okay. If you're an Ashkenazi, there's a possibility that it's okay, but there's also a possibility that it's nachon to be machmir, that it's proper to be machmir, that if you cannot remove the lower one without removing the upper one, that you shouldn't do it. There are other practical examples. If a person has a linen belt or on a wool garment, so you can wear a linen belt to close a wool garment over wool pants or vice versa. You could even have, if you have like a drawstring, like in your sweatpants or in like a sweatshirt or something, again, it's unlikely that would be wool and linen, but if it were, that would be mutter as well. The Ramah writes in Sif Dalid that a string that goes from one side to the other, similar to a leather strap in the tefillin that goes through the Mabarta. What does he mean? A leather strap in the tefillin goes through the Mabarta? What holds the bottom to the straps? The strap goes right through the bottom. So he describes, if you had a wool string going through a linen garment in a similar way, which is a funny way to describe a drawstring, but that's exactly what he's describing, right? That if you had a drawstring, that would be mutter. It's even mutter to make a single knot with a string over, with a wool string over a linen garment, but making a double knot is more questionable, is more problematic. Another possibility of discussion is if you have two begadim, one wool, one linen, and you can remove one without the other, but then you tie a string over it. You have like a robe that, with a belt that ties over it. So some poskim, like the Rabbeinu Yonah, quoted in the Beis Yosef, and the Rashba, quoted in the Taz, say that according to the Machmir Shita of the Ramah, it would be usher to wear a belt over two pairs of clothing if one is wool, one is linen. But the Taz himself, based on the Rashba, says that the minig is not that way, that the minig is to be mekel, and that's what the Aruch HaShulchan in Simin Shin Si'if Chav Beis Paskins, that it's mutter to wear a belt over two items of clothing, and that seems to be the common practice. So long story short, technically it's all mutter, but it's nachol nizar, it's a nice thing for an Ashkenazi to be machmir, that if you have two garments, that one cannot be removed without the other, that the bottom one one cannot be removed without the top. So it's nachon to be machmir for that shita that would run into a problem of shatness. Certainly, going to sleep with linen pajamas and a wool blanket is not a problem at all, because you could certainly remove the linen pajamas without taking off the wool blanket. They're not at all connected to each other, and that would certainly be mutter as well. Okay.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin on the Capital Ideas Podcast. Investment professionals reveal how they find their next great idea, what gives them their investment edge, and a few personal stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Capital Client Group, Inc.